Voyage.
Hello?
Katie, it's Gajodar. We need to talk.
Gagajar, why are you calling me at this hour?
Why did you drive away? Why do you hate me so much?
I don't hate you, Gagoda.
Joan yelled at me.
Joan's got a lot on her plate right now. She's under a lot of stress. Plus, she's about to get her period and she always gets snappy.
Fine. Listen, about last night.
Yeah, last night. That was weird how we ran into each other. Whatever you saw or thought you saw, we were doing community service, helping the homeless.
Right, helping the homeless. Yeah, uh-huh. Look, please don't tell anyone you saw me at the gas station last night.
Oh yeah, no problem.
I'm still waiting for my arraignment after being arrested for all that OxyContin someone put in my trunk. My lawyer said if I wanted to convince the judge that I was framed, I needed to just sit at home, stay out of sight, and behave myself. But I was going crazy, Katie. I had to get out for just a minute.
Totally get it.
Do you, Katie? Because if you didn't, I would hate it if we both had to have our little secrets exposed. Me, getting a late-night snack, and you, pushing corpses into Joan's truck.
That was not a corpse.
No?
I can absolutely confirm that is the truth. Not a corpse.
Interesting.
Yeah, great, Gag. You didn't see us and we didn't see you.
Wonderful. I appreciate that so much, Kate.
Katie.
Oh, of course. Katie. Doesn't feel good, does it? Bye.
Once Betty was stabilized at the hospital, and I could confirm that she indeed would not be able to talk after her stroke, which would keep me out of trouble at work because she wouldn't be able to write me out, I had Mark pick me up at the hospital. Hey, babe.
Joan, what the hell is going on with you? Asking Betty to live in a storage closet at your work had to have been the most ridiculous plan you've ever come up with. You're lucky she's alive. If anyone finds out what all happened, you're going to get us sued.
Betty wanted to go to the closet. She had a stroke. I didn't cause that. I'm sorry, Mark, but according to Channel 26, I saved her life. I am a local hero, and that's where the story ends.
You were on Channel 26?
Last night. You didn't see it?
No. With Del Rey?
The one and only.
Come see the softer side of news.
You're officially a puff piece.
How do you like me now?
I'm crazy about you. Want to get naked in the tent when we get home?
Ugh, it's Nancy. Tent's gotta wait. Nancy is my neighbor from the Upper Ridge. She's also my most demanding client at the investment firm I work out of. Hey, Nancy.
Joni, I need your help. Darla is not listening to me. I've been telling her that she needs to do her church's renovations with the contractor I recommended, but she refuses to even talk to him. She says she wants to go with some Vietnamese guy she knows. It's my money, Joni. I should have a say in where it goes.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that it's your money, Nancy.
And whose fault is that, Joni? Whose fault is that?
It's my fault. I got pissed at Nancy a few months ago and transferred $100,000 of her stock earnings without her permission to Darla's church as an anonymous donation. It was a shitty thing to do, not to mention completely illegal. But I did it as retaliation for Nancy using her weight as a city council member and getting FEMA applications approved to disperse funding for our neighbors on the upper ridge of Cypress Creek, while those of us on the lower ridge, who really need the funds to rebuild our homes from Harvey, are still waiting in line. But instead of reporting me, getting me fired, fined, and decertified, Nancy ended up deciding Darla's church was her next pet project. I don't see why you just don't tell her it's your money.
Because, Joni, if she knows it's me, then she'll ask for more and more and more. I have to first see how she does with my initial investment, and then I'll decide if I want to pursue another contribution. Maybe if she agrees to put my name on the building.
The Nancy Williams Church of Christ?
I like it. You should really come by and visit Upper Ridge sometime, Joan. So many wonderful changes happening. Heather just put in her new cedar hot tub, and it's just loads of fun trying it out. Very eco-friendly.
She hung up before I could ask. Heather got a hot tub? I quickly searched online. Eco-friendly cedar hot tub. Images of sexy couples and happy retirees submerged in steaming hot water with chilled white wine glasses overlooking a majestic view of green fields. Fields with no stifling piles of garbage on the curbs. No wives and their husbands trying to get a quick shag in a tent in their backyard while mountains of fire ants take over their living quarters. What would the cost of a cedar hot tub be? I pressed compare prices, and my jaw dropped. $8,000. For a hot tub? Where the heck was she getting that kind of money to drop in a hot tub at a time like this? Before going into the office that morning, I stealthily drove Mike's truck up to the upper ridge. I still had the twin bed frame and mattress Betty was using in the back. And as I made the twists and turns through the upper ridge, it banged against the metal bed. I pulled onto Heather and Nancy Street, praying that they weren't out in their front yards. I had my son Jeremy's drone with me, the kind that you connect to your cell phone. He'd taken me out a few times and showed me how to work it. I was amazed to find that I was pretty adept at it. I quickly climbed into the back of my truck and lay down on the mattress, taking care not to let anyone see me. I placed the drone next to me and turned it on. It sputtered and started to spin, making that very loud, distinctive sound, like a giant swarm of bees. So I knew I only had a few minutes before someone heard it and came outside. I guided it upwards as high as it would go, and then took off towards Heather's backyard to see the hot tub. As the drone hovered over her yard, I peered into my cell phone screen and gasped at the transformation of her backyard. Not only did she get an expensive cedar hot tub, but a new deck to boot, with a sweeping natural staircase made with rocks that led down to a fire pit. It was the perfect getaway space, and it must have cost in total upwards of $20,000. I felt sick with envy. As I drove the drone back towards me in the truck, I passed over the other neighbors' properties and saw that every single one of them had done some kind of upgrade to their home. There was a sauna in Michael and Kelly's yard. George got a new deck. Petra had put in some landscaping. And that annoying lady with the twin dogs had built a freaking dog mansion inspired by Roman imperialism with a freaking dog statue in a toga that was covered in dog piss. Where the hell were these people getting the funds to pay for all this? And then it dawned on me. Nancy. This was a direct result of Nancy's FEMA applications for the Upper Ridge residents. This is not right. Someone has to do something. I quickly drove over to my office, grabbed a cup of coffee from the break room without even a word to my fellow staff members, who were huddled around the storage closet taking bets on which employee left a brown turd in a bucket in the back of the closet. I realized I didn't do a proper sweep of the closet after we removed Betty, and did a silent prayer that she didn't leave behind any other surprises. I quickly did an internet search of our local representatives, I found the FEMA representative that Nancy was friends with. I ducked into my office and dialed the number. I was not going to let Nancy get away with this. The residents of the Upper Ridge do not get to have all the nice things, while the Lower Ridge residents have to make do with a shoddy contractor named Blaze, who spends half his time sleeping off a hangover in the garden.
Aguilar.
Miss Aguilar, my name is... I realized I couldn't give Linda my name. Because if she's such great friends with Nancy, she's going to tell her I called. I quickly looked around my desk to find some kind of inspiration for a name. Jane Stapler. Ugh, that was bad.
Miss Stapler, what can I do for you?
She bought it! What can she do for me? Oh, think quickly. Send a herd of elephants through Heather's backyard to demolish that hot tub? I'm concerned about a rumor I've been hearing amongst the residents of one of your communities that were decimated by Hurricane Harvey. Cypress Creek?
What's a rumor?
I took a deep breath. My heart was pounding in my chest. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble. I didn't want to keep my neighbors from experiencing their best lives. I didn't want to bring down the man. I just wanted my fair shake. I wanted my piece of the pie. I wanted my home, my things, my whole life back. One of the residents of Cypress Creek Subdivision has been turning in fraudulent requests on behalf of our neighbors for FEMA funding. They're saying it's for repairs after Hurricane Harvey damage, but their area wasn't affected at all. They're using the funds to do home additions, purchase luxury items. You know Nancy Williams? Her.
I see. That's a pretty big accusation. A very big accusation.
Okay.
I approved all those applications, you see.
Yeah.
FEMA is a very reputable branch of government, and the notion of me openly passing out the limited funds that we have to those who don't need it is absurd.
Don't you know Nancy from City Council?
And who are you?
Just a concerned citizen.
I mean, what was your name again?
Janet Stapler.
I thought it was Jane.
Fudge. She's on to me.
Listen, Jane, or Janet, I'm taking down your name and your report. I see your number here on my caller ID, so I have that too. We'll get my team on it.
I hung up. I could tell by the tone of her voice she wasn't going to get her team on it. She was going to get them on me. I realized at that moment I was the low man on the political pecking order, and Nancy was going to stay safe and secure thanks to the City Council Mafia. I tried to keep focused on work for the rest of the morning, but I was truly terrified that Linda Aguilar had collected my phone number. I only had to wait about 30 minutes to confirm that, because Nancy called me. Nance!
Joan Perkins. I had no idea. You really are despicable.
I guess Linda called her.
First you steal from me, then you try to rat me out to my best friend.
Best friend? Fudge!
What do you have against me, Joan?
I try to search inside myself for an answer, but all I come back with is silence, because I can't tell her the truth.
Okay. Well, now that you know that Linda will never take your side and do an investigation into the FEMA applications, it's up to me to decide now whether I'd like to retaliate with your petty nonsense by having you put me through to your supervisor. So we can just clear up this whole stealing my dividends thing.
If she tells on me, that's prison time. I thought about traitors I've heard about. Some get 10 years for what I did. It doesn't even matter if it went to a good cause, Darla's church, from a bad person, Nancy. Even if I tried to retaliate with a cross claim of her FEMA fraud, Linda Aguilar is the only witness. And if she's willing to use FEMA to be a money mule, I'm sure she is perfectly happy to lie on the stand to protect herself and her bestie, Nancy. Please, Nancy. That could ruin me. I could never get another job again. I have to support my kids.
Yes, I thought of that already. So, I thought of a solution. A way for you to get my $100K back plus interest plus all this pain and suffering you've put me through.
Sure, just say the word.
Shorten my stocks.
Nancy, I can't do that. I can't make trades for you. They would see. I could lose my license.
You had no problem with that when you transferred my dividends to Darla.
I was stupid. It was a snap emotional move.
Well, get emotional now because you're going to do this or I'm going to end you.
Okay. Meet me at your house in an hour. I would have to teach Nancy how to short her own stock in an options margin trading account. Once I got to her place, I explained to her that she would short the stock, such as ATVI, meaning she believes the stock would decline in price, which would give her a defined profit but unlimited loss. If you don't watch the stock carefully and manage your movement, the stock could basically blow out the long call side and create a massive loss for you. Not only would your portfolio take a loss, but you would then have a margin call to make up for the loss. Double hit. Do you understand?
I understand. I got this. A monkey could do this.
Okay, let's put the trade on now. Watch your position closely. I'll call you in a day to check in. Don't forget. Watch. After leaving Nancy's, I stopped by Katie's house to check in with her to see if she was ready to start planning our co-presidential announcement to the community. As I walked up to the sidewalk towards her house, I noticed that there was a white sedan parked in her driveway. It was Gag's sedan, and there he was, heading up to her front door. I froze, not knowing whether to run away and hide or to head to Katie's to give her backup. I hid behind a parked car next door to Katie's as Gag rang the doorbell.
Gadgetar!
Hey, Kate. I hope you don't mind me stopping by unannounced.
I have some cookies in the oven, but...
I just couldn't risk calling you. You never know who's listening. But seeing as we were newly confidants, you were the only person I felt I could come to.
Oh?
I found something very interesting in my trunk and wanted to show you.
Uh-huh.
I watched as Gag reached into his pocket and pulled out a small orange object. When he held it up to Katie's face... I could tell it was a medicine prescription bottle.
I found this pill bottle in my truck. It's just like all the other bottles the police recovered after my arrest. You'll never believe what was in it.
What?
Oxy. Full of oxy. Interestingly, when I examined the pills more closely, I realized that they all don't look the same. They're different colors, different designs, different brands.
Weird. Why would a pharmacist do that?
Would a pharmacist do that?
Yes?
They wouldn't. No, it's like they were collected from several different sources and then put together. And take a look at the name on the label.
It's been scratched off.
It's as if the owner didn't want anyone to identify whose bottle it is.
Whose do you think it is?
Oh, it could be anyone.
Too bad there's no name on it.
Yeah, but it won't be so hard to track the owner after all.
Oh, really?
See? They scratched off their name. But they left part of the phone number of the pharmacy, and even better, see these numbers here?
Uh-huh.
That's the RX number. So all I have to do is figure out this phone number here to this pharmacy and give them this RX number, and just like that, I know whose these pills belong to.
Oh my God.
Can you believe what a total idiot this criminal is?
I couldn't watch anymore. I ran to the truck. I grabbed the drone out of the front seat.
The police don't want to help me prove my innocence. They'd rather just let the brown guy with the un-American name go to jail than try to blame any pretty little white lady with malintent.
I flew the drone right towards Gag, but at the last second, he saw the drone, ducked, and it slammed into Katie instead.
Ow! Oh my God!
What the hell was that?
Gag, I'm so sorry. I was practicing my drone, and it just got out of control. I'm awfully sorry. Gag glared at Katie and me. He shook the pill bottle into Katie's face again.
I'm going to get to the bottom of who framed me so that I can prove my innocence. Someone's going to jail for a long time, and you can bet it won't be me.
He stomped on my drone and broke it into smithereens. He huffed down the sidewalk and into his white sedan. We watched him back out of the driveway and down the street, four houses down. He pulled into the driveway of his house, got out, slammed the car door shut, gave us the bird, and marched into his house, slamming the door behind him.
That was my pill bottle, and he knows it. He's got me. He's gonna lead it back to me, and I'm gonna get thrown in jail. Oh my God! I'm gonna go to jail for hillbilly heroin!
Katie, look at me. If we learned anything from Hurricane Harvey, we learned that when a storm comes into your life, buildings that are not built well will fall, and buildings with a strong foundation will stand. We have a friendship that is built on the right foundation. We both love to win, and we love to beat people at their own game, to go eyeball to eyeball. Who's gonna flinch first? Not us. Never us. As long as we are unified against them, nobody can touch us. Now let's go get that pill bottle from Bully Boy.
Cypress Creek is a production of Voyage Media. The series is produced by Nat Mundell, Robert Midas, Dan Benamore, and Laura Summers. Executive produced by Lynn Jenkins. Written and directed by Laura Summers, based on Hurricane Harvey, Overcoming the Chaos by Lynn Jenkins. The book is available on Amazon. A link is in the show notes. Edited, sound designed, and mixed by Joel Lippman. Original music by Derlis Gonzalez. Starring Carolina Bonetti as Katie and Annie Abrams as Joan. Additional cast credits available in the show notes. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you're listening, and subscribe now for future episodes. Hey listeners, this is Dan Benamore, head of podcasts for Voyage Media, fighting a cold to tell you about another show that I am confident you're going to enjoy if you're enjoying Cypress Creek. It's called Love, Murder, Florida. It stars the wonderful Jane Lynch, who you may know from Glee and the 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's a dark comedy about a feud between two women who used to be friends that leads to one of them traveling to Florida and meeting a charismatic, very handsome, and very dangerous man and making some terrible decisions. It's darkly comic. It's super messed up. It's a real walk on the wild side. So stop listening to my sick voice and look up Love, Murder, Florida from Voyage Media. All episodes are available now anywhere you listen to podcasts.